For decades, victims of rape by priests and others connected with the Catholic Church fought for what I think most see as just what was right, justice for them and penalties for their abusers. The Catholic Church thought they had time via the statute of limitations on their side. Now, while the battle was long and hard, that sought-after justice is coming to victims with more and more frequency. An example of this involves Del Barton School in Morristown here in New Jersey. Thanks in great part to New Jersey state laws, the truth was unearthed, and justice, well, let's just say to a degree, resulted, a greater degree than even recent past. My first guest today is here to review what this case involved, how the ruling came about, and what this case means for other victims of sex crimes committed by priests. He is the director of the New Jersey offices of survivors of those abused by a priest. He's also one of those survivors, Mark Crawford. Mark, thanks for being on the show again. Always good to talk with you when there's good news after so long of talking about we hope that there's going to be good news.
Yes, thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me again.
SnapNetwork.org. If you're listening on the stream, you'll find your state location through that website. And in New Jersey, it's /n_new_jersey. And we have that link at our homepage as well. So catch up the listener on this, because in light of everything going on in our world, this might have been one that slipped people's attention, because it's really two parts to this trial regarding the victim named TM, who, although their name isn't released, they've been very vocal about their thoughts about this case. Take us through the first part and what brought it about, and the story behind what took place in Del Barton back in the mid-70s that TM was subjected to.
Sure. So at that time, Del Barton, this elite prep school, grades 7 through 12, was a boarding school. And the all-male boarding school, so the boys who stayed on campus often worked odd jobs with the monks, an order of Benedictine monks, which operates the school. And in this case, TM worked with the maintenance crew, and there was one monk, Father Richard Lott, who was a chemistry teacher and head of maintenance on the sprawling estate of Del Barton in Morristown. So over a holiday weekend, New Year's weekend in 1975-76, the monk took TM out to a party, gave him alcohol. He was a bit inebriated, certainly feeling woozy at least. Early morning hours of the next day, in 1976, he was brought back to the monk's residence. Now, this particular monk didn't live in the abbey like all the other monks. He was allowed to live in a barn away from the abbey. And apparently, according to students, liquor and marijuana was often available for the students who worked with this monk. And it was during the early morning hours that TM was sexually assaulted by this Father Richard Lott. So the school all along denied that TM was abused. They, even after the verdict, the headmaster of the school refused to admit that TM was abused. And they tried to say TM was fabricating this for money. The fact is the jury didn't buy it, and they awarded TM $5 million. Now, during that trial, there was much evidence provided that showed that numerous monks had abused students over decades from the 60s, 70s, 80s. And in 2018, the school issued a statement to the community, to the students and the families, that 13 monks and one lay teacher had been accused of abusing boys at the school, and some of the other parishes in Newark Archdiocese where they served. And there were more than 30 victims, or at least 30 victims at that point, that they acknowledged. And that's quite stifling for any one institution to have so many credible abusers. Additionally, during the trial, it was a fact that at least two of those credibly accused were still living on campus at the Abbey. which is part of the campus. But there were a number of others that were still on restrictions, apparently, living at the Abbey. So while the monks maintained that they've done their part to clean up their act, they say they're accredited by an organization called Presidium. But what they don't often say is that their own monk at the time, Father Richard, Elias Richard Lorenzo, was actually on the advisory board of Presidium for years.
Oh, God.
And when he left, he's been recently elevated to become the bishop, auxiliary bishop of Newark. Now, another teacher at Dalbarton has assumed a position on the Presidium board, to my knowledge. His name is Mr. Gerso. So they are still have members sitting on the board, so I find it hard for them. They call this an independent organization accrediting the school with their policies and procedures regarding sexual abuse allegations.
That is
so, quite disturbing. And, you know, again, they wouldn't acknowledge, even after the jury found that TM was abused and that the school was largely responsible, 65% responsible, which means the entire $5 million award has to be paid by the school, even though they found the offender 35% responsible.
And when you take into account, too, that Dalbarton's facing another 38 pending abuse cases, capitulation and humility might be a better strategy for them versus versus what the stand they're taking right now. And something interesting came out of this trial, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but didn't TM go to Dalbarton higher-ups and say what was happening?
He did, shortly after graduating from the school. And they did encourage him to leave for another elite boarding school because of his grades. But I think they knew that something had been going on, right? So they encouraged him to leave. He did write a letter to the abbot at the time, and the abbot kept the letter and admittedly destroyed it some 20 years later when he was leaving that position. And he said he wanted to protect TM, and of course he said it would certainly be bad for the reputation of the school. So that was acknowledged during the trial, along with, like I said, other allegations of abuse had come up. Most certainly, it was quite incredible. During the trial, additionally, a gentleman testified during the time, I guess, when Tom had served alongside the other maintenance workers, you know, that he didn't see anything untoward and never heard anything from Tom, you know, regarding the abuse. However, it was later discovered that that very gentleman had been, you know, after graduating from Dalbarton, he's 20 years younger than the abuser, he had himself lived with that abuser for 2 years and then off and then on again for another 8 years, you know, at his home. So this was a very good friend, a very close friend of Father Lott, who came to testify on Lott's behalf. But again, the jury saw through it all. And
unanimous verdict in TM's favor, and the jury did not buy what Dalbarton was selling. But then further on, punitive damages, Dalbarton escaped that, at least in this trial, certainly worthy of watching. In the trial still to come, we're talking with Mark Crawford, who is the director of the New Jersey offices of survivors of those abused by priests. He is also one of those survivors, snapnetwork.org in New Jersey, /new_Jersey. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, this case with TM launched all the way back in 2017, which that alone gives you, I think, the true measurement of the effort it takes to get to this justice conclusion that we saw happen for TM. And this all came about because of the New Jersey Child Victims Act. Talk about what that has been, how that has enabled victims. I mean, that window is shut now, but in that time that it right. was in effect, it certainly did make a difference.
Well, it's even though the window for past abuses had passed in 2019, it was open for 2 years from that point, December of 2019. However, anybody who's abused to this day under the age of 55 or 7 years from the time they make the connection between the abuse and the damage or harm it's done to one person, they can still avail themselves now of the Child Victims Act and pursue civil remedy. It certainly has made a big difference because the former law was 2 years from the age of 20, and very few victims come forward at that early age, very few. In fact, the average age victims come forward is 52, and that's if ever. So the law had to change. It did change. It took many years. I advocated for that change for almost 20 years, and Senator Joseph Vitale here in New Jersey championed that cause and helped it come to fruition for sure. So we are certainly grateful that the legislature saw fit to finally understand, you know, the damage and long-term harm and the years it takes for victims to come forward and seek justice, whatever that might be for any individual, you know, if they want to pursue that route. However, as you mentioned, it's been clear that these powerful institutions have dragged this on. That law changed 7 years ago, and this is the very first case under that law to come in dealing with a Catholic institution anyhow here in New Jersey. It is the first civil case that made it to trial. So you can see how the Catholic diocese have been fighting tooth and nail to drag these victims on and on and on. That's still the case. I mean, this is only one case that has made it to court. Then there's 39 more against Del Barton alone and hundreds concerning the other five Catholic dioceses here in New Jersey.
And there's a lot more, no pun intended, revelations to be coming in light of other, we don't have time to get into them all right now, but other court decisions and rulings that are taking place that, if you recall, and if you don't, you can find it over at our downloads page, the Pennsylvania report on church abuse, Catholic church abuse, and the significance that made. That is going to be cliff notes compared to what I think New Jersey is going to wind up creating and releasing. And just to wrap up here, just to give you an idea of what the victims go through, this is what TM sought in the personal injury claims as a result of the sex abuse by the priest, or rape, I call it, which is more accurate what it is. Physical, emotional, psychiatric injuries, PTSD, depression, loss of Catholic faith, and the list goes on from there. But as Mark demonstrates and has for years, and with the new laws on the books and the greater awareness of who needs the protection, and it's not the institutions. The institutions in the aftermath worry more about, we don't know how we're going to stay open. That should be the least of your worries and the last of your worries right now. It's making things right for the victims that you allowed to be created through your lack of interest, lack of concern, lack of compassion, lack of every word of God that you say you've dedicated your life to live up to and have obviously drastically failed in that promise. That's something you have to contend with, but you also need to contend with the victims that you allowed to be created. And if you are a victim, hopefully what you see unfolding now will encourage you and compel you to step forward and take the action that is justifiably yours, and to find out more about the path you could take in that direction. SNAP Network is certainly the go-to for your support network and your support teams. SnapNetwork.org, if you're listening on the stream, there's chapters all across the country. And in New Jersey, new_Jersey, we do have the link at our homepage as well. Mark, we've talked about this for a lot of years, and it's so good to see the light gets brighter each and every time now we talk versus turn back the clock 5 years. And boy, it was dark back then, but you kept fighting, and the truth is always going to outlast anything else. So thanks for your work. Thanks for your advocacy. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. Just want to see these victims have an opportunity for justice and healing. That's the most important.